Planetary Spirit, coming to you on ETIN, Emerson College's Talk and Information Network. My name is Jeff Ferranini, and I invite you on an exploration of spirituality. And my guest today is Donna Cicciarella, who is a past life reader and a fine artist, painter, as well as a graphic designer. Let me tell you a little bit about Donna Cicciarella. Her former education was as an artist, receiving a BFA in painting from the Rhode Island School of Design. Then, after years of pursuing an artistic career, she felt drawn to work in the field of service to others. We all have our own unique gifts to share with the world, however small they may seem. Then, while living in Santa Fe in 1994, she met a teacher and, under her training, was able to uncover her ability to see past lives. Since that time, she has given thousands of readings, and she says, "I feel my gift of being able to access the past for people is a better way to help others than as a working professional artist. I have seen so many profound shifts with past life information, the relief that a client feels when they have an emotional breakthrough or healing from a physical problem is a real joy for me." Unquote. And so her website is www.pastlifereadings.com. That's PASTLIFEREADINGS.com. So it's a pleasure to welcome today to Planetary Spirit, Donna Cicciarella. Hey, Donna, how are you?
Hi, Jeff. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's my pleasure, really my pleasure. And thank you for the work you're doing. This is powerful and profound work. And let's kind of go back into that. Here you were, you're a fine artist, painter, graphic designer. You're out in Santa Fe. Who was this woman that you met, and why did you feel drawn to her to kind of like take what she had to offer you to heart and then to study under her in that way?
Well, first of all, I just want to correct you. I'm not a graphic designer, but I am a, that's okay. I'm a fine artist as far as painting. So more of the creative, painting was my background. When I met my teacher, I was very intrigued with what she was doing. She was a channel for the spirit guide, Michael, the Archangel Michael. And about 10 years before that, I'd had a healing with a spirit guide named Hilarion through someone else who was channeling Hilarion. And so I was very impressed with this kind of work. So when I met her, I asked her if she would teach me to also become a channel. And she so generously said yes. She then proceeded to give me a lot of exercises to do on my own to so-called empty my mind, to let a channel, to let a medium, whoever it wanted to be, come through. I worked diligently to try to empty my mind, working with her exercises day and night for about 6 weeks until I found that I wasn't emptying my mind, that instead my mind was full of visions, and they seemed to be fantastical and seemed to not have to do with anything that was going on with my life. So eventually I told her I was a failure, I was hopeless, and time to give up. And she so innocently asked me, well, what are you seeing? What's going on in your head, in your mind, as you do these exercises? And I told her about my visions, and she's the one that said, I think you're seeing past lives.
Mm.
And I was a bit taken back. I wasn't really, now I'm a Tibetan Buddhist practitioner, and karma and past lives are a big part of our understanding. But at that time, I didn't give it a lot of weight, and I didn't know exactly how important it was to look into the past like that. So she asked me questions. She began asking me questions about her past lives. And she was sure I was seeing past lives because of the answers I was giving her. And then I began to work with her clients. And again, I was doubting everything I was seeing and also relating to people. But it was about 4 months after that that one of them was independently verified. And so at that point, I had to give a little bit of weight to or credence to what I was seeing. And that was in 1994.
Okay. Wow. And what was her name?
I'm not sure she wants me to say it.
Well, say her first name then.
Her first name was Mary, yes.
Mary. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, your website is, I think this is why I saw you as a graphic designer, is so beautifully laid out. It's so clean, uncluttered. It's almost like, want to make a beautiful website, go to this website and get ideas. But also...
Thank you. Thank you. I did create that, but I see it more as a painting instead of a graphic display, but thank you.
Well, it's a place where you're displaying some of your beautiful paintings as well. But one of the places that I really enjoyed resting a couple of times and enjoying what was being offered was where you say some case examples of past life readings. And I'd like to read one. Would you mind if I read one?
Oh, please. I'd be interested to see which one you picked up.
This is called A Bittersweet Love Story. And you say, my reading with Teresa was one of my first, or Therese, was one of my first readings in 1994.
Yes, this was the one that I spoke about that was independently verified about 4 months after I began giving readings.
Okay.
So interesting you picked that out, yes.
I'll continue. Yes. So in her current life, she was married with 5 children, what was powerfully drawn to another man, Josh, and wanted to know their past life connection. In my vision, the first scene I saw was of her crying in terrible sadness over the loss of her husband, who had just recently left her. Her husband in that life was Josh. It was during the late 1800s. They lived in Kentucky with 3 children, and I gave her the names and ages of them. Josh and Therese were very happy together at first, but gradually he lost interest in her because he began to see her differently. He didn't see her as the sexy, beautiful woman that he had initially married. He saw her as busy, a busy working mother, not a lover and friend. So he left her for another younger woman. Continuing in my visions, his new relationship eventually dissolved, and he moved to the western part of the United States. He gambled for a living and would periodically send money to Therese. It was only after 18 years that he decided to come home and see her again. The children by that time had left the house, and she was living alone. Her reception of him was very cool, as she had not forgiven him for leaving her and the children. She didn't welcome him with an open heart and arms. He visited with her and then left, never seeing her again. This is the part I love. After the reading, Therese went to tell Josh the story of their past life together. She told me that he went white with shock. He told her that 20 years earlier, in the mid-1970s, he had visited some friends in Kentucky. On the evening that he arrived, one of their friends, a psychic, was there and approached him saying, quote, "You have lived here before. You have to listen to this story," unquote. He dismissed her, thinking she was half crazy, but she showed up for breakfast the next day and said the same thing to him. So this time he listened. The psychic proceeded to tell him the exact past life story that I, Donna Cicciarella, had told him, told to Therese, to the detail, except the psychic couldn't see how he made money. She said that he was sending Therese money, but didn't know how he made it. Otherwise, the detail of the past life were exactly the same as the one I told Therese. So Josh told Therese that all those 20 years of knowing the past life story, he never knew who his wife had been. Now he knew. He deeply asked for her forgiveness, and she asked for his, for being so cold to him when he had come back after 18 years of absence in that past life. They profoundly reconnected at a heart level, and her obsession to be with him in this life left her, and she decided to stay with her husband. I mean, that could be a novel.
Yeah. She was so grateful for the information, and I think he was too, although I never spoke to him directly after the reading. I don't know what his personal response was other than to go white and be astounded.
Yeah.
He wasn't a particularly spiritual person at all. So, yeah,
okay.
But it worked. I mean, they made up and it was healed. And that was the beautiful part.
Mm. Well, I mean, this must be just amazing. I really see you, you know, because I see you as a painter of words, and I see you as somebody who is, through your paintings, through these images and these stories that you're kind of weaving for people, you're also, it feels to me, like creating healings. Do you see that?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever approached it that way. The healings that I see I create are with individual sessions or the individual stories that I'm able to relate to people.
Mm-hmm.
Although many people have written me emails telling me they absolutely love my artwork. I don't know if that's a direct healing or indirect healing per se, but for me, using past life information to help someone is, and I remind myself, it's just one method of healing. There's so many ways that we gain insight and clarity and heal our wounds, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if I'm able to access some information from the past that helps someone, I see that as a healing. But I love how you see my stories and my paintings as healing, but I never looked at it that way.
Mm.
I might start looking at it that way. Yeah, it's definitely a creative, the paintings and the stories on the website, it's definitely a creative display of energy and art. But I don't know if it does bring healing to people directly. I don't know.
Well, when you think of healing and when I think of healing, I have a feeling we're a little bit at disparate places in our perspectives. I'm not saying that somebody, has a club foot and now, you know, they've got a perfectly normal foot, or they're blind and now they see. I think, in my way of thinking, that this story of Therese, to me, feels like healing took place, that in the past life, something had occurred that was unfinished, and you were able to bring the pieces together, the two parties together, at the right moment in time, in order for, in my perspective, have healing occur, which allowed Therese to go back to her husband, completely letting go of Josh, because she understood what had happened there and was able to put that to rest.
Yes, and all of us can use that story for our own personal relationships.
Yeah.
Thinking about who we don't forgive as we go through life.
Yeah.
It will come back to us in some way. And luckily, she was able to contact me and not move forward. I mean, and we did the reading, and she lost her obsession with Josh. But suppose she didn't. Suppose she had ruined her marriage, upset the children's lives, and left her husband, and it created a whole dramatic, painful scenario, maybe even laden with guilt. So what we need to do is constantly ask ourselves who we have not forgiven.
Mm.
We don't even need to know our past lives. I mean, we can't carry our past life reader around with us in our wallet or our back pocket. It's a simple exercise to do, just to continuously ask ourselves who we haven't forgiven and what would it take to forgive this person before we die. And since we don't know when we're going to die, which could be tomorrow, it's a very risky thing to think, well, okay, I'll get to that next year when I see him at a Christmas party.
Mm.
Very risky. And that's what I've learned for myself doing this work, is that we are taking a huge risk for our future births, our future lives. And many times with negative consequences for the future if we don't forgive. So I like to suggest to my clients to do whatever it takes to forgive someone. Whatever it takes. And that's for your benefit, even if you don't care about them. It's for your own benefit.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to read something again from your website, and you say, this is entitled Prayer for Creating Positive Karma. And before I read this poem, you have written, "We all need to create more positive karma. And there are hundreds of ways we can do so throughout our day. Saying this prayer is a wonderful way to begin or end the day. We can say it any time, even parts of it, and the more sincere feelings we have when we say it, the positive karma that is created is even more powerful." So, prayer for creating positive karma. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled, with a mind weighed down by depression. May no one ever have depression. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the hopeless find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all the medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid, and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power, and the people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. And that was written by Shanti Deva, who was an Indian Brahmin in the 8th century. Why is that important to you that you would place that poem or that prayer on your website?
Well, as a past life reader, I think about past lives a lot, and I also think about future lives. In other words, who we are now, what our circumstances are now, are due to our own doing, so to speak. It's anything that's positive or negative in our life is due to our own actions from other lifetimes, or even from the past on this lifetime. That being said, that means that every moment we are creating karma for our future.
Hmm.
Every moment, every thought, word, and action creates karma, both positive and negative. So in Buddhism, we speak about karma is the best investment we can make for ourselves, creating good karma. It's actually called merit. Positive karma is merit. So creating merit for ourselves is a smart thing to do. I was raised a Catholic, and we are told that we bring nothing with us at the time of death. But it's not true. We bring our karma, both negative and positive. Everything that we've done in this life, positive and negative, does come with us. Everything we've done is imprinted in the universe. Nothing escapes that. So when we start thinking about karma and our own lifetimes ahead, we do have control over that. We do have control. So this poem was about trying to get people to have a more expansive mind, that we're not just these isolated beings trying to live our own lifetimes or lives being as comfortable and happy as possible. Then when we start to think of others, we're expanding our hearts, we're expanding our minds. That what we do for ourselves, we do for others. So if I can say this, this prayer was about, we all have 3 minutes in the morning to say a prayer like this, and it sets the tone for the whole day. And sentient beings include all beings, all living things, not just human beings. So the animals and insects, all beings. And so we start to look at everyone and everything, if we choose to, as we're all in this together. And if I can create positive karma for myself, I then take the next step, in Buddhism we call it dedication of merit. So we begin our day with the prayer. Another prayer is, may all the merit I create today, or may I have opportunities to create lots of merit today, lots of merit. And at the end of the day, we dedicate our merit out to the world. In other words, we give all the good karma that we made away. It's the ultimate act of generosity.
Amen. So I just want to read real quick another one of your case examples before we go to break. And this one is entitled, A Terminal Illness. Robert was in an intense and challenging place in his life. He told me he had a rare, incurable disease and had 2 months to live. He had been viewing my website for 3 years. He said, hesitating to have the reading for a number of reasons, but now he was ready to know the past life causes for having his illness. In my past life reading process, I always speak the truth of what I see. I have learned to never doubt my visions, and so I told him that in a past life, he had come home and found his house burned down. Although it wasn't evident who did it, he had a strong suspicion of who it was and began planning revenge. His plan of retaliation was extreme, as he was so angry. He hunted down the person and harmed him greatly. I am leaving out the details here, what Robert did to this man. After I related the past life to him, I said to Robert that his problem was anger, and before I could say any more, he became very angry at me and hung up the phone. Of course, I felt terrible, but I felt that perhaps he could still hear the message of the past life, and so I sent him the recording. A year later, I received a long and profound email from him thanking me. He did listen to the recording and decided to work with his anger directly by seeing it as an energy and not identifying with it. He said he felt deeply different and started feeling a soft and subtle joy. When anger would rise again, he worked his process over and over. We continued to correspond by email for another 2 years, and he sent me pictures of his plants and garden, saying it was the happiest time of his life. When I hadn't heard from him in a while, I searched on the internet and discovered that he had died. His death was 3 years after our reading, and almost 3 years after he was supposed to die. I feel Robert did amazing and powerful work in the last years of his life, and his story is such a beautiful one that I wanted to include it here. Donna, will you stay on the line with us as we go to break?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, you're quite welcome, and thank you. And we're talking today with my guest, Donna Cicciarella, who is a past life reader as well as a fine artist painter. And her website is www.pastlifereadings.com. That's PASTLIFEREADINGS.com. And if you're interested in more interviews from Planetary Spirit, go to the website, www.planetary-spirit.com, where we've got 200-plus interviews archived for listening or downloading. And at this time, we're going to take a short break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Creation, you are my one soul.
Back to Planetary Spirit. This is Jeff Ferranini, your host, and we're talking today with my guest, Donna Cicciarella, who is a past life reader as well as a fine artist painter. And her website is www.pastliferadings.com. That's PASTLIFERADINGS.com. And during the break, we listened to Esther Nicholson from her CD entitled Child Above the Sun, and the cut we listened to was titled One Heart. So, welcome back there, Donna.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're quite welcome. So, I wanted to, in this segment, let people know that I have had the opportunity to have a reading with you. And what a powerful reading that was, what a powerful experience that was, where you took me back to, I think it was like around the 1920s, and the gentleman that you saw was from northern Italy. I think he'd been born in the 1800s, and he there was something about a painting, a special painting that was involved in this, and he met this woman who really was just the light in his eyes and the love of his life, and there was sort of a tragedy there, I don't know, the way that you told the story was so powerful, and I felt like I was watching a movie unfold, and the images were so crisp and so clear. Do you recall any of that?
I do recall it, perhaps not some of the details that you remember, but I do recall generally. I remember the painting. It was, I can't remember exactly, but I know it was a painting of the Sacred Heart of Jesus,
right,
wasn't it?
Right, yeah.
And it was your treasure that you carried from house to house, so everywhere you went with you,
mm-hmm.
and that you relied on in times of duress, but also it was just your rock, if you will. Was it just was it only the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Wasn't that?
Yeah, yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he meets this woman, and they get married, and he wants to go out west because they're in the United States when they meet, and she really doesn't want to go. And he says, no, we have to go. That's where, you know, my fortune lies. And so she goes with him. And as a result of her going with him, she, I think, either catches pneumonia or, yeah, I think she catches pneumonia and she dies in his arms. Just, you know, so powerful. And he, of course, is forlorn about that because he realized, you know, she was not a complaining person. She just really was there to give to him whatever she had to give. And he mourns her loss deeply.
I remember also the circumstances where they got caught in the Dust Bowl. And that
was huge
because most people, when they got there, everything was fine out in those states that, parts of Texas and Oklahoma, Colorado, that had that were very fertile and abundant before the Dust Bowl. And then when the Dust Bowl hit, it was so long that people that tried to stick it out went through a lot of pain and suffering. And I think that's what she was going through. She didn't want to be there in the beginning, the first place, and then the Dust Bowl hit. And it was just hard for her. And I think that's why she got pneumonia. Am I correct in telling you this? Is that right?
You know, I don't have that exactly. But I know that, you know, she did
that's
get...
That's what I remember.
Yeah, that seems like... That seems right.
So, all the time that... It was so much work to keep continuously cleaning the houses of all the dust. And everything would get dust on it. And you coughed up dust, and it was no way to live. And she just didn't complain. That was the beautiful part. She just kept, surrendering to her life and surrendering to you. And you never knew that she was that uncomfortable. Very beautiful person. We all want to be like that. She wasn't aggressive. She wasn't angry. She just was a sweetheart.
Right.
And then when she died, it just profoundly changed you. You lost a real dear friend.
But, you know, what really gets me, though, is the way that the stories that you tell are so deeply nuanced, embellished. It's almost like you're creating a painting. You know, you have details that come in and little pieces, almost of a puzzle that's being put together. And I just found it very powerful, even if I don't have any recollection whatsoever of that past life. Just the energy that you brought in that session was powerful for me, and it was so powerful to the extent that I wrote a poem, and I'd like to share that now, if that would be okay with you, Donna.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Because, I don't know, something about your work, for me, feels very healing. So this word healing just seems to be invited in when I think about your work. And so the title of this poem is The Sound of Hearts Healing, for Donna C. A certain quality in her voice breathes life into images effortlessly, as if singing songs deep and care-filled to soothe bruised and tender hearts. Speaks quietly, excavating times before memory, mesmerizes, painting animated pictures, parting veils of antiquity. Beneath murky depths, a light is shining, a voice is heard, aiding weary travelers who have lost their way. Stirrings, connections, healing. This voice inhabits deeply felt textures in finely woven stories, vocal swirlings, mystical, touched with magic, leading one to all important inquiry. Are you ready to heal? Ready to let go of the whip cutting your flesh that causes you shame? Then this voice invites you to kneel before Divine Mother, she whose eyes can see within you the hidden light burning bright. The voice then offers you the gift of healing, kind words gently spoken to remind you, you are truly loved. Divine Mother may stroke your hair, touch your shoulder, speak tender words to offer your heart healing. The kind mother speaks straight to your heart. Unconditional love, the kind that heals bruised, torn, and battered hearts, hurt long, long ago. Now this voice calls you to surrender. Allow the joy to pour in, invites you in effortless flow. Surrender to the grace surrounding you. Yes, this voice creates worlds spun from thin air, offers healing to a world bereft of kindness, a voice that speaks to your soul to let you know you matter. A voice like that can change your world, a quiet voice with love to share, whose only mission is to hear one sound, the sound of hearts healing everywhere.
That is beautiful, Jeff.
Well, that's what came to me from, you know, after you gave me this story, it just really felt like this gentleman, Ambrose, his heart had been really harmed because he had felt so much deep love from this woman. And, you know, something that he had done had caused her pain. But she comes to him at some point and lets him know, as you told me, she came to me in this reading to let me know that she did not hold anything against me or this fellow Ambrose, a part of me in another life, for what had happened. She was completely forgiven.
He was completely forgiven. I remember in the reading you went into, and his name was Ambrose?
Yeah.
Ambrose, and I think, which is interesting, because I think her name was Rosa.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Interesting, Ambrose and Rosa. I didn't put it together until now. But he went into a terrible depression after she died because of his guilt, I think. Mm. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes something like that to start to open our hearts. Sometimes it takes loss. I think many people listening can attest to that.
Mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
It may not open our hearts completely, but it's the beginning of it. Sometimes we need that kind of tragic shock to begin to see things differently. Although if we get caught in shame and blame toward ourselves, it doesn't help. It just doesn't help. It's almost like we need to turn it into a thank you for this teaching. As hard as that may sound to do, it's a thank you for this teaching instead of beating ourselves up for what we didn't do.
Right.
And that's forgiving ourselves, the type of love toward ourselves. It's what we would do if a child spilled a glass of milk. It's okay.
Hmm.
You know, you learn from your mistakes. So that brings more peace instead of this type of negative bashing toward ourselves for not being perfect.
Mm.
Yeah. So, but I think he was caught in that depression and that, yet his Sacred Heart, if I remember, it was the Sacred Heart picture
mm-hmm.
that kept him, this foundational love alive in his heart.
Yeah, and that
really
was
connected.
That was a painting given to him by his grandfather, yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah,
who he dearly, dearly loved, yeah. Let me ask you if you consider the work you do with past life readings, do you consider that to be your spiritual practice?
Not at all. I hardly think about it. The only way I think about it is on a daily basis or a moment-to-moment basis. I mean, I'm very serious now as a spiritual practitioner. How am I using this moment? Am I using it negatively or positively? Because everything that's difficult that has happened to me in this life is only due to my own actions in other lifetimes. So I'm very serious about karma and what I'm continuously creating. And what I find is that when I choose to think a good thought, even if it's a forced good thought, let's say I'm having a difficulty with a certain person, and I'm making myself, even if it's like I say, fake it till you make it, have a good thought about the person, what I notice is that I'm more peaceful. It's an energy that you start to get in touch with. It's like, oh, that makes me feel more peaceful. And since everything is energy in the world, in the universe, I won't go into that or argue my case for or against it. Everything's energy. It's what am I bringing to the world at this moment through my choice of thinking? Am I bringing peace or am I bringing agitation and anger? So that's how I use, as far as karma, past life work, that's how I use it with my practice, my spiritual practice, but it certainly isn't all my practice.
Oh, no. I wasn't saying that I considered it to be all your practice. I was more so saying that my sense is that a lot of the work you're doing with past life readings is interlaced with a deeper energy of spirituality that helps people to see beyond where they are now and perhaps helps to remove obstacles or barriers that have been unconsciously in their way for some time. And when they start to connect with the story that you bring to them for that moment, it just kind of helps to smooth the path a little bit.
Oh, it sure does for many people. And I like to see my work, and most of us have to work in the world. And there are days where I may be tired and don't want to do a reading. But if I see it as work, my work that I am helping someone, it certainly gives me impetus to continue to do the work. So I like to believe that my own personal journey has been able to add to what I can give a person or impart to them in a reading. My own difficulties that I've been through and challenges in life, that I'm not immune to problems. And as one of the Buddhist teachers said, life is messy, jump in. And, you know, it just comes at us from left and right, right? When we think everything's cool, something else is a challenge. Yeah, and so using past life work can help us get through some of the big challenges that we can't see how to get through.
So, Donald, let me ask you, how have you seen yourself grow in a spiritual way as an aware, sentient human being through doing this work with others? In what way have you seen a depth emerge from this work, or have you seen a depth emerge for yourself personally through offering this kind of work?
Well, I think one of the main things I've seen in the readings as a whole is that, and this may be astounding, I don't know if it's an accurate number, but I would say a huge percentage, I won't even say a number, of people come to me that don't know how to forgive themselves. They judge themselves, and it's usually very subconscious, and it usually comes from an idea that they're not doing something right, that they're all wrong, they're living life wrong, that something's wrong with them. And it's a judgment. It's a negative, erroneous, not true idea that they're holding on to. And as such, they can make themselves miserable and many people around them as well. So it made me look at where we all judge, where I judge, where I don't forgive myself. It's all about that, is where, what judgment does and how harmful it is. If I'm judging myself, am I judging someone else? And what does it take to not have judgment? What does it take to let someone just be themselves without having judgment of right and wrong? So I think for me, it's brought me to a place of, I don't think I judge myself, and if I do, I do it for about 3 seconds and then stop. And that's where it's really helped me, because I see that's where most of the problems in all lifetimes start, in judging themselves, judging people, judging themselves, and then also judging others in a negative way.
Right.
In a negative way.
Right.
And usually we judge others in a negative way because we're trying to protect ourselves. But it never has a good ending. It just doesn't, because what you put out comes back, right? It's the law of karma, or as you sow, so shall you reap. So if you're putting out a negative judgment, somewhere along that will come back to you. And that's why I watch my own mind very carefully and look at if I'm judging myself negatively or anyone else.
Yeah, that's good advice to follow. And, you know, you've been doing this for, I'm going to say, probably 20-plus years. So you've had a lot of intimate interactions over the phone with people. Have you noticed a difference in the type of people that are coming to you and the quality of the people that are coming to you as a result of maybe some of the energetic shifts that are happening on the planet at this time? That's kind of a weird question, but...
Well, when I first started and I put up my website in 1996, we have to remember not many people were on the internet then.
Okay.
So I think it's safe to say that in the last 10 years there's been an influx of people that even the older generation, so to speak, are on the internet. But I think it's mainly been women that are Christians that are coming more and more to me. And they say that, yes, they have their faith in Christianity and Jesus, but something's going on here that they're also believing in past lives.
That's right, because the Bible doesn't teach that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I also hear from people in the South in the United States is the Bible Belt, and not many people will even begin to, to go much outside their very strict dogmatic religion that this is the only lifetime there is.
Yeah, yeah.
Very once in a while I hear someone from the Bible Belt that said, you know, I just don't tell anyone. I don't tell anyone. I keep this all to myself, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even my husband doesn't know. But they're, I think because of the internet, they're able to expand their thinking. So it's mainly women that have been Christians or still Christians but still believe or want to incorporate into their thinking now past lives. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
I mean, that gives me a flavor for it, you know.
But it's not. I hear from people all over the world, basically people that have access to internet, if they're located in another country, especially a third world country. Third world countries are difficult if they don't have internet access. They won't find out about me, and they probably won't have the ability to have the session anyway. And that's sad to me, but you just have to, just the way it is. Parts of Africa and South America, things like that. Some more industrialized countries.
Well, it sounds like really what your work is doing is providing a mirror for people to reflect upon, and it seems like that mirror is leading them to look deeper into this idea of self-forgiveness. And that's such a powerful tool to be able to offer to people. And Donna, I want to thank you so much for being my guest today and for doing the work that you do. So thank you for being my guest.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.
You're quite welcome. And be well.
Thank you.
And my guest today on Planetary Spirit has been Donna Cicciarella, who is a past life reader as well as a fine artist painter. And her website is www.pastliferadings.com. That's PASTLIFERADINGS.com. And coming up, I'm going to be on vacation for the first week in October. But following that, my guest will be a gentleman whose name is Don Oscar Miro Quesada. And he's going to be talking to us about spirituality and shamanism. And so that will be something to stay tuned for. And if you're enjoying this program and would like to access past interviews, go to www.planetary-spirit.com. That's planetary-spirit.com for on-demand archives of past shows, where recent interviews are now available on the Planetary Spirit website. And while there, be sure to sign up for the email list to receive monthly updates for who my upcoming guests will be, as well as the newsletter. And also, on Facebook, we've got a site on Facebook for the Planetary Spirit fan page. So if you go to the website, there's a place, first of all, to sign up for the monthly guest listings where you can put your email in. And right below that, you can like us, if you're on Facebook, on the Planetary Spirit fan page. We would certainly appreciate that. And this is Jeff Ferranini of Planetary Spirit wishing you all a blessed day, this day and every day. And so, be well. Godspeed.